So we stopped in the middle of a conversation here about the source when the Kohen requires to use the right hand only, the Yamin. Shmir Machlokas versus the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon. Chachamim said either the word Etzba or Kohen would be sufficient to teach me Yamin, but Rabbi Shimon felt that, you know, do you need the word Etzba? Etzba teaches me Yamin. Without that, you don't require the right hand. And the word Kohen, whenever you see the word Kohen, that means that the big day kuna. So the Gemara now said, had asked on the bottom here, that according to the Chachamim, that said either Etzba or Kahuna teaches me Yamim. So we had this whole statement of Rava that taught us Gzer Shava from Itzora, that Yad Yad tells me Kmitza. So he says, why do you need Yad Yad for? If it says the word Kohen or Etzba, which it does, by Kmitza, that you need the right hand, you don't need the Yad Yad Gzer Shava as well. And the Gemara says, according to the Chachamim, Chad Le Kometz, Chad Le Kiddush HaKometz. So that one pasuk tells me you need the right hand to do the kmitza, and the other pasuk tells me that you need to place the kmitza into a kli shares being held by a kohen, a different kohen, in his right hand. So the Gemara then says, what about Rabbi Shimon? Top of Chaf Hayam and Aleph, Rabbi Shimon delo by kiddush kometz. Rabbi Shimon, there's an opinion. Rabbi Shimon requires you to do a kmitza, but you don't have to place that kmitza into another kli shares. You don't require that kiddush sheni. So what's Rabbi Shimon going to learn from the gzer shava yad yad? It's not needed. And the Gemara says further, Ulaman Damar, the one who holds the Rabbi Shimon, Nami by Kiddush, Kometz Bismol, Achshure Michshar. And according to the one that holds Rabbi Shimon, does in fact require Kiddush Sheni. You need to place the Kmitza into a second one. He also holds that Kohen who's catching it can use his left hand. You don't need to use the right hand for the Kli Sheni. Why not? Because when it comes to the Halacha, the Pasuk, the source, that the Kmitza goes into Kli Sharis, the word Etzba doesn't appear there. It only says Kohen. But Kohen's not enough for Rabbi Shimon to tell me you need the right hand to do the Kli Sharis, the Kiddush Kometz in a Kli Sharis. You could use your left hand to do the Kiddush of the Kometz. So according to Rabbi Shimon, the question becomes, what do you learn from the words Yad Yad? So Yad Yad de Rav Alamali. So I say, if you're going to tell me the Kemitza Atzma, that the Kemitza itself, that the initial Kemitza, that requires the right hand, because when something comes to Kemitza, the Pasuk only says the word Kohen. It doesn't say Etzba. So since it doesn't say Etzba, how does Rabbi Shimon know that the Kemitza needs to be done with the right hand? So maybe we learn that from Yad Yad, that the Kemitza is with the right hand. The Gemara says, no, because we have the other source. How do we know the Kemitza requires the right hand? Let's just be clear. Right now, Rabbi Shimon holds that Kemitza definitely needs the right hand. We're going to see the source in just a second. When it comes to the Kli Sharis, the Kiddush Sheni, that the Kemitza goes into Kiddush Sheni, there's a machlokas. Either Rabbi Shimon doesn't require that at all, you don't need to place it into a Kli Sharis, or even if you do have to place it into a Kli Sharis, you could use your left hand. So we still have the available Yad Yad for no reason. So what do we know? What's the source that the initial Kemitza requires a right hand? So the Gemara explains from Midrav Yehuda Berei Derabbi Chiya Nafka. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda Berei Derabbi Chiya. My time at the Rabbi Shimon. What's the reason for Rabbi Shimon? What's the basis that you need the right hand according to him? Tamar Krav, the Pasuk says, we've seen this Pasuk quoted before. Kodesh Kadashim Hi Kechatas V'cha'ashem. The Kodesh Kodashim, this Chatas is going to be, this particular carbon is going to be just like a Chatas, it's also going to be like an Ashem. Well, which one is it? Is it a Chatas or is it an Ashem? Now the Pasuk here is referring to the, bring a Mincha. So on one hand the Pasuk calls a Mincha a Chatas, but also calls it an Ashem. Well, which one is it? So the Gemara explains, it's meant to read, but Stadim, two different tracks, meaning, Bala of the Biyad of the Biyamin Kechatas. If you're going to do the Kemitza, the Mincha, with the hand, the actual hand, you need to use your right hand, like a Chatas requires a right hand. Bala of the Bekli, if you want to use a Kli to do the Kemitza of the Besmol Ka'ashim, you have to use your left hand for the Asham, like an Asham. So we see from here at least, if you're using your Yad by Kemitza, you have to use your Yamin, your right hand. So this is the source that Rabbi Shimon requires the right hand for the Kemitza. So the question becomes, so what does Rabbi Shimon learn from the Gezer Shava, Yad Yad, Mitzora to Kemitza? There's nothing available to learn. So the Gemara answers, Lo Nitzcha, it is needed for the following case. Elo Lekometz Minchas Chote. Minchas Chote, when a person does an Aveir, requires a carbon Chatas, he brings what's called a Minchas Chote. So Gemara explains, Tzakadai Techamina, I would have thought, hold the Amar Rabbi Shimon, since Rabbi Shimon holds, Shelo Ye Karbono Mehuder, that we don't want the carbon to look very nice and pleasant. That's why there's no shem in there. So ki kamatz lo besmol nami tiskasher. I mean, there's a certain kula. Every other carbon mincha requires shemen to be poured over. But the guy's bringing a mincha schote. We don't want it to look nice. We want it to look dry and empty and just flour. We don't want their oil to be there. So since we don't have the requirement of shemen, maybe there's no requirement of right either, and maybe the left hand should be sufficient. Kamash Malan tells us that no, even in the Minchas Chote, we have a second pasuk, yad yad, that even the Minchas Chote requires the right hand. Rashi explains just the interesting conversation. To look at Dibur Maskil, the whole of the Amar Rabbi Shimon, he quotes the Gemara and the first parak of Minachos Davav, Bedin who should take Minchas Chote to an Hashem and the Levona. Really, the one bringing the Minchas Chote should have to bring oil and the Levona along with it. Why? Shelo Yechot Niska. The guy is getting off the hook. He's getting a cheap carbon. That guy who's bringing a nice carbon, who's bringing Nadava, is bringing Shemen, he's bringing the Levona. He's spending a lot of money. I'm the Minchas Chote. Mine's cheap. I pay only a few bucks for a couple pounds of flour. So we should make it more expensive and throw the Shemen and Levona on top of it also. Why don't we require him to bring it? We don't want his carbon to look nice. The guy didn't have it. It should look very empty and dry like this individual is. And therefore, there's a havamina that maybe the left hand should be sufficient as well, since we're removing a lot of the restrictions. Kamashwala, no, you have to use the right hand. Okay, the Mishnah tells the new Mishnah, Nishbach Hadam ala Ritzba v'asvo pasul. Let's say the person, the coming nowhere, anyone, the czar, shechs the animal, he shechs the cow. The blood spills onto the floor. We're supposed to catch it, but it spills on the floor, and then the coin gathers up from the ritzbah. It's pasul. Why is it pasul? So the Brisker Rav quotes Reb Chaim. There's a chakira why this would be pasul. Is it pasul because the Kabbalah has to be a din that the par has to be directly from the par? It's a din in the Kabbalah, or he says it's really a din in the dam. So you have to figure out, there's nafkaminas they quote here. I don't really get the nafkaminas here. But or is it in the dam? The dam has to be miskadesh from the par, not from the ritzba. Not that the Kabbalah was an incorrect Kabbalah, but the dam has to be caught from a place that was kadosh. Since the ritzba is not a place of, not considered the par, it's a psul in the dam, not psul in the Kabbalah. It's hard to figure out what the difference is. But the conceptual, you could see dam versus Kabbalah. So I didn't see the Brisker Rav bring this as a riot, but it seems clear from Rashi that Rashi takes a side here. Rashi in the Mishnah says, Nishbach ala ritzba mitzavar behema. You catch the blood from the ritzba that fell from the neck of the animal. Shalom niskaba b'kli. You didn't do a proper Kabbalah. It seems like a chisaron in the Kabbalah, not a chisaron in the dam.
He said that if you did a Kabbalah and refer to the floor, then it's okay.
If you did a Kabbalah, and after the Kabbalah, yeah. So there the Kabbalah is good.
That
would be according to everyone, I believe. Everyone would agree that
I think.
The Rambam says also that the Rambam Shita, right? Quotes the Rambam here. I think Rambam. They quote a Rambam Psulim Mikdashim that says if it falls. Oh, there's different Rambams. Like Rambam says if some of the dam falls on the floor and then you gather it up.
It says in the Mishnah.
Okay, so we'll get there. So the Rambam says that let's say part of the dam falls on the floor and you gather together, that's actually kosher. So meaning the only problem is if you gather rove of the dam from off the floor, but if most of you catch it in the kli and then you pick up some of it on the floor, that would actually be considered kosher according to the Rambam. So the Gemara now quotes a brayso, Tanur Rabbanan v'lokach ha-korin ha-mashiach midam ha-par, that the kohen collects the blood from the cow, midam ha-nefesh v'lo midam ha-par. The law is you catch it from the blood where the cow dies from, not from the blood of the skin of the animal. That's not where the diet. Everyone has the blood in the skin. That's not where a person dies from. And not the blood of the tamsis. Blood of the dama tamsis is blood that's not the essence of his life. Where after the animal died already and blood is still coming out, that's called dama tamsis. It has to be dama nefesh, the blood that is causing the death of the animal. So the Taz has a din, who writes in your day, I don't know the context though, he does write that there is no dam that comes from the ore. There's no blood in the skin. So Tua Shor says, what do you mean? The Gemara clearly says there is dam that comes from the ore. It's just not kosher for Kabbalah, but there is blood to speak of that comes from the skin. So Shvitz Yaakov says there's a difference between a behema and an oaf. A behema does have dam in the ore. That's what the Gemara is talking about. That dam ha-or from the behema is not kosher for Kabbalah, but there is dam in the ore. And the Taz is talking about an oaf, a bird skin, does not have any dam in the ore. That's what the Taz was referring to. Okay, so the Gemara now says, has to be dam ha-nefesh. Then the Gemara says, midam ha-par, dam me-ha-par yikablenu. Now we're changing the word. We're taking, it really says midam ha-par, from the blood of the cow, but we're taking the mem and putting it dam me-ha-par. The blood has to come directly from the cow itself. And you have to go, it can't be off the floor. This is the source. It can't be from the floor and gather. It has to be directly from the par into the kli. That's from, again, the drasha. We're moving the mem from mi dam hapar to dam me hapar. We're switching the mem around. Because this hakadaitach mi dam hapar kidechsiv, if it means that they take the word literally, that from the blood of the cow, then we always know midam apar v'afil mixes adam. At least as long as you have some of the blood. Midam means some blood is all you need to catch. If that were to be the proper diuk, the way it's written, but that can't be the case. Because of v'ham merav, rav hold the din, that a shochet tzarech shekabel es kol damo shapar. You need to catch all the blood, shenemar ves kol damo yishpoch. You need to get all the blood to spill it out. So the fact that midam apar can't be taken literally from only some of the blood, therefore we take the mem, we move it to dam meapar, that the blood has to come directly from the cow's neck, not off the floor. Ela midam, as the Gemara says, midam apar, dam meapar, yikablenu, the kasavar gorin umosifin vidorshin. They're able to scratch off a letter here and plug it in elsewhere. You could switch letters around. Now, Tosus has an interesting question here. We haven't gotten to this point yet about the sakin, but let's just, Tosus talks about it right here. He wants to know, if you look at the Ramasa, Gorin u'mosifin v'darshim. Go towards the end of the line, it says, V'im. V'im tomar, what do you need this drasha for? Tepik le, you should learn this out. Midmatinan dam sakin, kolshken shal haritzpa. We're going to see in just a moment, blood that's on the knife, that's after shachtin, then you put that blood into the kli, that's puzzle. So certainly, if it falls on the rizpa, which is further removed, certainly that's going to be puzzle as well. So why do you have to have a special drasha that has to separately, that the rizpa is puzzle, if we know from the sakin, as we'll see shortly, is puzzle as well. So he answers, v'yeshlomar, didilma dam sakin gara, mishum dinis kabel b'psul. The sakin, to a certain extent, is worse than the rizpa, because the sakin caught some of the blood. So that's a kabbalah, maisa kabbalah, and a second kabbalah. But on the ritzpa, there's no kabbalah. It just spilled memela. There's no kabbalah that was caught there to disqualify the blood.
But he's explaining because at the beginning, the behemoth wasn't like the first part he cuts. It's not kosher. Is that what it is?
No, that's not what he's saying here.
So what is he saying?
He's saying here is that when it's on the dam, or the dam's on the sakin rather, that's a kabbalah. The knife caught the blood. That's a kabbalah one. That's a pasul kabbalah. So do a second kabbalah. That's pasul. But if it falls on the ritzpa, that's not called a kabbalah. That just spilled. There's no kabbalah to disqualify. So maybe off the ritzpa, then I gather up the blood. That's the first kabbalah. Maybe that should be kosher. So we have to say, no, mi dam hapar has to be dam meapar, directly from it, and off the ritzpa would be a problem.
What does it mean by kabbalah bepsul? Meaning that...
You did a ma'aseh kabbalah with the sakin. You caught blood.
Which is not a kli...
Which is not what's the psul of a sakin?
Yeah. Meaning it has no kabbalah.
I guess
no kibul.
Something like that. I guess it might be why. Could be.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. So then the Gemara says gufa. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav Hashochet Tzarech Shekabel is called Damo Shapar. We just said above that the shechter person shechting it. Now it's not really true. The shochet isn't the one who has to necessarily catch it. You can have another kohen who does it. Because if I'm a zar, I am a zar, and I shecht the animal, which I'm allowed to shecht my animal, I can't do the kabbalah. So even though the Gemara says Hashochet Tzarech Shekabel is called Damo, doesn't mean the shochet himself. Whoever is doing the kabbalah has to make sure all the blood kol dam shapar is caught. Shenemar, as we saw in the pasuk above, there's kol dam hapar yishpoch. You need to catch all the blood in order to then go ahead and spill it. So then the Gemara says, "V'ha bishirayim ksiv." This pasuk is referring to the shirayim. What's shirayim? Shirayim is after the kohen did the zrika. He did the sprinklings, whether it's four different corners for chatas or two for shlamim. So the rest of the blood is poured on the yesod. Now the yesod we're going to get into, I forget which daf this is on, but it describes how this beach was built. This beach was built, you know, we had this big box, but around the side, not every corner had the southwest corner wrapped around to the northeast, northwest, to the northeast, those had three corners. But this bottom southeast did not have any yesod. So went around the tip, those three corners, and you pour on the yesod, the shirayim would go spilled on that part. Now it came to a chatas, a carbon that was brought inside, or rather the outside, the mizbech hachitzon, so when the carbon would come down the ramp, he'd pour on the southern part of the yesod, bottom here. But let's say it was a carbon that was taking place inside, he'd come from the heichal to the mizbech panimi, so then he'd first encounter the yesod on the west, he'd pour on the western part. So whichever one you encounter first is where you pour the shiraim on. So that's what shiraim, the leftover blood is poured on. That we saw already before, that's ma'akev, the kapara, but there's still an inyan, a mitzvah and a mufcha to pour the shiraim. So this pasuk is referring to the shiraim. There's nothing to do with the zrika at all. So how could you bring a raya here that you have to catch all the blood when it comes to the zrika and nothing to do with Kabbalah? So the Gemara says, the imeinu inyan l'shiraim, the hales l'kule. Well, this can't be taken literally. It can't be referring to shiraim because not all the blood is remaining for shiraim. You already sprinkled some of the blood. So kol dama par can't be referring to the shiraim, even though it sounds like that way. And therefore, tenayu inyan l'kabbalah, we plug it in and apply it to Kabbalah, that the Kabbalah has to take place with kol dam hapar. Gemara now quotes at the end, the last few lines of the page here. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Hashochet Atzarach Sheagbia Sakin Lemala. The one who shachs it has to make sure he lifts the knife up. Why? Shenemar V'lokach Midam Apar V'lo Midam Apar V'Dever Acher. Because if you shacht it and you leave it now where the kli is, now some of the blood's going to drip off the sakin into the kli, and that's a problem because it has to go directly from the Dam Apar, not from a Dever Acher, not from the knife into the kli. But therefore, after you shecht it, remove it, right, it will lift it up, so none of the blood falls into the kli. That's the exercise of concept. So maybe not exactly what you were saying, Ricky. You're saying that a sakin seems to be davar acher. I guess the question is, in theory, probably a sakin can catch all the blood. So maybe that's why it can't be a good kli, kabbalah. Not because it lacks a kli kibble. Let's say it's a long, flat metal pan.
Possibly.
So the reason why it's possible is because, right, since you're going from the sakin, it's a davar acher, into the kli, that would make it possible. What's Andy?
I'm just asking about this. I mean, have you ever seen a cow being shechted? There is an enormous amount of blood.
Mm-hmm.
This is not like...
And therefore what?
It's not shaykh not to have blood on the sakin and on this. And
no,
on
there will be on the knife, but you don't want that knife to fall, the blood on the knife.
Not on the floor either, unless it's like you do a teeny little cut and you only have...
You have a huge bucket maybe.
I have no idea.
It's
an enormous...
Uh-huh. I've never been zochet to see. Okay, I made one time.
You might become vegetarian.
Okay, I wouldn't. The Gemara then says, "V'dam sakin b'may mekanechle." So now, after you have the blood dripping on the sakin, what would you do with it? How would you clean it? Amar Rabaye b'sfas mizrak kidechsev kipurei zav. You'd actually, you would spill the rest of the blood. You'd clean it off on the side of the mizrak. The mizrak is what the kli is that you caught all the blood from the cow that you're eventually going to use to sprinkle the blood on. So after the knife is moved over here, then you rub it on the side of the kli mizrak. Rashi explains, why not inside of it? Rashi says, "Bisfas mizrak v'lo v'tocho." You can't put it inside the mizrak because that's already davar acher. You right wipe it on the outside. And Rashi explains, how do you learn that from the word kipurei zav? Kare, last three lines of the page in Rashi, Kare le Mizrakan, they referred to the Mizrakan in Sefer Ezra as Al Shem Kinuach. Kipure means kapores, kapara, cleaning, but also means physically clean. So they'd actually use it to clean the knife as well. That's what the din is. Okay. Now the rabbis wants to know, why are you talking about cleaning the sakin? Why don't you just take a towel and clean it? Why are you talking about cleaning it on any type of clean Mizrak? So the Radbaz explains here that since the sakin was a kli sharis, although that blood in the sakin isn't kasher for zrika, it is still required for shirayim. You have to go to shirayim. So therefore, you want it to be on another kli sharis. So you have blood dripping on the outside of the kli zarik, which can't be used for the zrika, but will be apparently incorporated when it came to the shirayim. That's the chiddush of the Radbaz. Okay, the Gemara now says as follows. Amr of Chis, the last two lines of the page here. Amr of Chis, Amr of Yirmiya, Bar Ava, Hashochet, the one who shechs it, Tzarech Sheyiten, needs to place es ha-veridin le-toch ha-kli. Veridin are the arteries and stuff that where the animal is being shechted from. Has to be placed directly in the kli. It marnami, Amr Biasi, Amr Biyochan, veridin Tzarech Sheyiru of your kli. Has to see the airspace of the kli. So Rashi just points out here, when viridin latoch ha-kli, that the arteries are going to place directly in the kli to catch all the blood, to have a kabbalah me'apar shapir. So it goes directly from the arteries. Are the arteries the right word, by the way? Something like
blood
that?
Vessels.
Blood vessels. Okay, fine. So the blood vessels directly in the kli, so it goes directly from the blood vessels into the kli. So Rashi just points out, hai toch labdafka, the halo efsha. You can't really put the arteries or the blood vessels directly in the kli. You're not yanking them out to put them in the kli. So what it means is that, ela al avir shel toch kli. You should put the big bucket, you're telling me there's a lot of blood, you put it directly underneath the neck, so it's going to directly come fall into the kli. So the Gemara asks the question, Ba'yimine, this is a bit challenging now, this back and forth. Ba'yimine, Rabbi Asi, Rabbi Yochanan, he asked them the following question. Hayo, mekabel v'nifchasel shulei mizrak ad shlo yedam la'avir mahu. So you have the kohen who's mekabel the kli. Now before he puts it right underneath, the bucket's right there, and before the blood, before it gets into the area, airspace, the bottom falls out somehow. Oh, some crazy case happens. It's very hot in there. It's near the mizbeach. I don't know, the esh. It burned the plastic. You can't even use the plastic. It burned the metal and it just dropped. So now what happens is that called the good Kabbalah? What's the din? Avir she'ein sofa lanuach kemunach dami. If you have a blood falling through an airspace, which in the end physically is not going to fall into the kli, there's no bottom anymore, is that viewed as being kemunach dami, even though it eventually won't be munach? Odilma lo kemunach dami. It's not. Since there is no bottom, it's not going to stop anywhere within that kli. It's just as if it's going through the airspace and it's never caught. It was never munach. That was the shiloh that he had asked. And what's the relevance of this? Just look at Rashi here. Rashi says, Kemunach dami, three narrow lines down here. Pavale kemishinis kabel v'nishbach de kosher lasvot. If it was caught, and then if it falls on the ritzba afterwards, like Ricky quoted the Mishnah Lamed Beis, you can catch it afterwards. Meaning if I catch in a kli, and then it spills onto the floor, I actually can pick it up. But if it never falls into a kli, goes directly to the ritzba, that's possible forever. So if it goes through a kli that once had a bottom and just lost the bottom right now, is that considered as if it had a kli, was caught, and spilled in the blood, and spilled on the floor, I could gather it up and use it. That's the shaila. Is an avir, avir she'ein sofa lanuach, is that kemunach dami, olav kemunach dami. So Amar Lei, so he tries to bring a raya, Rabbi Yochanan brings a raya, tanisua, from a sugya by paraduma. Paraduma, you know, you have to get the water. You need mayim chayim el keli, the pasuk says in Chukas, you need to catch water, use the water from a live spring for the paraduma. So what happens? The Gemara talks about a brisa here. Chavis shemunachas tachas hazinuk. You have a chavis, a barrel of some sort, a bucket that's below the water coming out of a spring. Mayim shebesocho v'shebechutala psulim. What's the, why is it psulim? Because the way it works is, for Mayim Chaim, for Paraduma, you have to go directly from the Mayim Chaim, the spring, into the kli that's being used for the Paraduma. But to first use a bucket, and then take the bucket to the Paraduma, that would be possible. So here, if you have a bucket here ready to catch the Mayim Chaim, so once it falls in, it's certainly going to be possible. So any water that's in the bucket, and even things that are outside the bucket, that's going to be possible as well. Once it gets into the airspace already, even though it's outside, it's already going to ultimately fall into the airspace, that's already considered disqualified. It's not called Mayim Chaim. So then the Gemara quotes further in the Brisa, Tzir Piel Lezinok Mayim, Shebesocha Psulin, Shebechutala Shem. Let's say I put the bucket right next to the Mayim Chaim. I imagine I have this spring, and I created a pipe or some type of a hose, and the Mayim is just coming through the hose. The hose is not a kli. So the hose is not going to disqualify the Mayim Chaim. I'm just channeling it somewhere. I'm directing it somewhere. So now I put the bucket, the hose, directly into the bucket. So the lach is, any water that already was released from the hose, now in the airspace of that bucket, that's possible, because it's already considered caught. But let's say I have the hose, I put the hose into the bucket. Now, still in the hose, hasn't yet dropped out yet, that water in the hose is still considered kosher. Only what's left the hose and is in the airspace is a problem. But if it's still in the hose, even though the hose is inside the bucket, that's kosher. So that's the din of the brisa. So the Gemara says, so we see from here that if it's in the airspace of a bucket, though, it's possible. So the Gemara says, what's going on here? Hi, my by mine avir shein sofel anuach. We asked the question: if it wasn't going to stop, if there is no bottom, it's going through a bucket that once had a bottom, but there's no bottom right now. We wanted to know whether that's munach or lavka munach dami. The kapashle, but you're giving me an answer from a case of avir shesofel anuach. You tell me a bucket where there is a bottom, so I can understand a bucket that has a bottom to it that's going to eventually catch the water. Why that would be possible if it's in the avir, if it's in the airspace? But I don't know if the bucket has no bottom, maybe that's not considered kumunach dami. How could you bring a raya from this case of the chavis of the paraduma? So the Gemara says, really, tarti kabay mine, there's a double question here. They first wanted to know, avir sheinu sofa lanuach, is that kumunach dami or lav kumunach dami? And imtim shalomar, if you're going to tell me, avir shein sofa lanuach, if there's no bottom, it's lav kumunach dami, that's not, it's as if it's not stopped. It just goes right through like it's the avir. So then, avir, the second question is, avir shesofa lanuach mai. But what if there is a bottom to it? So then, would that be considered, if it's still in the airspace, is that considered kemunach dami, since eventually it will be rested? So what comes out right now, just halach lemaisa, just for a moment before we go weiter, that since we're assuming whatever there's an imtim salomar, the Rambam assumes that based on the Kesef Mishnah's understanding of the Rambam, that we always pass on like that imtim salomar. If you want to say it's this way, so we always pass on like that if imtim salomar. So imtim salomar is telling me here that if it's she'ein sof lanuach, if it's not going to ultimately stop, meaning there's no bottom, it's lav kemunach dami. Which means when it comes to the case of Kabbalah, the blood passes through, it's not munach dami. When it falls on the ritzba, it's completely apostle. We don't view it as being caught. And with regards to the paraduma case, it would be considered kosher. Because if it hadn't stopped, the Mayim Chaim goes right through the bucket, and eventually to where you're going for the paraduma, that's considered kosher, because it wasn't stopped by anything, that's considered still Mayim Chaim. So it's the same principle, but it's a chumrah. It's possible for the Zrikas Dam, but it's a cool, it's kosher when it comes to the paraduma.
Here it explains that it's only referring before the dam reaches the airspace within the bucket, meaning if the dam reaches the airspace within the bucket before it touches the bottom, and the bottom falls, then it's kosher already.
That would make sense to me, because the
it's already
airspace is closed.
The question is only if it's before it enters the airspace inside the bucket.
I hear that. So then the Gemara says,
it's absurd by the case of power, because we were saying that for the case where the jet goes and the water is in the airspace, it's considered kemunach, and therefore the water is possible.
Only if there's a bottom, though, only if there's a bucket. But there's
no bottom then.
Then the Gemara says, Rav Yosef Masni Hachi, that was all what we just presented, Rav Yosef's understanding of the Shach Levitaryah. Rav Chista, Masni Rav Chista thought, Echavis Boy Minei, and Pashalei Echavis. So Rav Kana thought the Shaila had nothing to do with a Mizrek at all, nothing to do with Zrikas Dam. He had a Shaila about Chavis by Paraduma. He wasn't familiar with this mission of this Brisa about Paraduma, so they answered, this is my first Brisa. So then Rabba Masni Chavis, by Minei, as Rabbah thought, the question was about Chavis by Paraduma and Pashalei Mizrak, and they gave an answer from Zrikas Dam. I mean, our presentation was the question was about Mizrak, and they brought Chavis as a Raya, and he says, no, the question was about a Chavis, to bring a Raya from the Mizrak. What was a Raya from the Mizrak? Iatamoda bin Mizrak, she'iav sharlo below Zina. Do you not agree to me that when it comes to the Mizrak, it's impossible without Zina? Meaning what? When it came to the Mayim Chaim, you could have a hose. That's a continuation of Mayim Chaim. So in theory, you could have a hose that goes directly to the bottom of the bucket, and there's no zinuk, there's no airspace ever. That could be a possibility. When it comes to the Mizrak, it's impossible to not have avir. There's always going to be avir, because you can't, of course, put the arteries in the bucket. So there's always going to be, from the blood vessels into the bucket, there's always going to be avir. So he says, that's a line here, Iyatamoda, do you not agree to me, bin Mizrak, she'iyav sharlo below zinuk? It's impossible that there isn't zinuk. It's impossible that there isn't this flow of blood that goes through the airspace. Just look at Rashi to figure out what's going on here. Rashi says the top, the first wide line, Iyatamoda, bin Mizrak, she'iyav sharlo below zinuk. Kisheshochet al avir kli, when they shech the avir on the kli, ein hadam shows his bimkomo, the blood doesn't go directly to the bottom of the bucket. It flows through the airspace. When it comes to catching the blood, there's a certain airspace. If you assume that an airspace that eventually will rest is not rested. Now remember, this presentation is that the question according to this rabbah is they want to know by a chavis where there's a bottom. There's a bottom, is that going to be, forget the bottomless one, we're talking about a regular chavis. We wanted to know by a paraduma, if you have the water go into an avir of a chavis, is that possible? So they bring a raya from the Mizrak. If you assume that sof lanuach is lav kemunach dami, it's not like munach dami, it's as if it's not rested. Nimsa, says Rashi, kishu yored lekli, when the blood falls from the cow into the kli, mina avir huba, it always passes through the avir. It has to always go through airspace. You can't get from the blood vessels to the bottom without going through avir. It doesn't come directly from the cow. The Torah Amra, Dam Me'apar Yikablen, it has to be direct. So what's happening here? So if you assume the airspace is not like the bottom, it's something separate. So it goes from Dam Apar to airspace to the Kli. That's a separation. So it must be true that even the airspace is considered the bottom of the Kli. So the moment you put the bucket right next to the cow's neck, so now the moment it goes from blood vessel, gets into the airspace, that's considered Munach Dami. It's direct from the Dam Apar to the Kli. So just like by Mizrak, we assume the airspace is Kimunach Dami, so to by Chavis, if you have the hose and the water comes into the bucket, even though it hasn't yet got to the bottom of the bucket, it's considered a Kimunach Dami and would be puzzle when it comes to the Paraduma, because you need Mayim Chaim.
But in the case of a regular korban, if it falls, if it breaks, then we make it kosher. If it falls to the ground.
Exactly. If there's no bottom, so then it's considered that's
right,
a different shiloh.
Meaning, right? Yeah, but it works the opposite way. It gives you kula.
Exactly. That was a shiloh.
Right.
We weren't sure what the halach is, but according to this last presentation of Rabbah,
like a munaf dami, then no matter when it breaks,
correct.
Whether inside it is
exactly.
Or it's good.
But Rabbah wasn't even addressing it. Rabbah thought it was a regular case of a chavis, regular bottom, and he wasn't even talking about if it was a bottomless type of bucket. Okay, Gemara now quotes the very last, the narrow line here on the page here, quote to Mishnah, Tanan Hasam. Nasan yado araglo o ayirako o ale yirakos kadeshi yavru maim lechavis psulim. Let's say you're using your hand or water or legs or some edible type of leaf to create a drain of some sort, a pipe to have the maim chaim of the paraduma waters to get to where you need it to get to. That's possible, but ali kanim, ali egozim, which are not edible, kshera. So only things, the halacha is that things that are roi lachila, which can become tame, things that are edible can become tame, so that cannot be used to pass through the water, but things that are inedible, which cannot become tame ochlin, are allowed to be used. So zeklal, kol davar makabel tuma, something that is susceptible to tuma, is psulin to pass through the mayim chaim through, but davar sheino makabel tuma, something that is not susceptible to tuma, is ksherim, you can use as a pipe for the mayim chaim. So, how do I know this halacha? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Yosi Bar Abba, Amar Kral, the Pasuk says, Ach Mayan Rubor U Mikva Mayim Yehiet Tahor. That these things, the spring and the mikvah, are Tahor. What does it mean, Yehiet Tahor? Have Yosan Aide Tara. That the moving of the Mayim Chaim has to be through means that are Tahor, things that can never become Tame. So that's why if it's things that are Makabal Tumah are Pasul, things that are not Makabal Tumah, that are, in other words, Tahor, always are kosher to move on the water.
It went over it, or did it like hit, like it got redirected?
I'm not sure redirecting, but it's channeling it. It's funneling it through to some area. So, you know, directing it of some sort. I'm not sure if it would just happen to pass over if it didn't play any role.
I thought maybe it's like the other that's so full of, like, is it, it has to do with like sitting on it.
I said Shiyavrus. I thought it was really it was playing a role in causing it to move. Mm-hmm. That's what I thought the Lashon meant. I don't see.
Meaning he's doing like a
funnel.
Right. If you like shoot a hose over and happens to be things below it, right. That wouldn't be subject to this halacha. So then the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zosemer says, tells me the halacha that avir kli ki kli dami, that the airspace of a kli is like a kli dami. So according to this understanding, it sounds like what Adam just said here. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Zosemer says, avir kli ki kli dami, mitikatani nasan yado v'chule pasol, deha en maim shosin miyado l'chli b'shisa el b'havara, kishiyotin miyado mekalchen them al pnei rochev piyachavis v'afilu hachi pasol. When it goes to a person's hand, it's not what you said. When it goes to my hand,
it goes through.
But not because what Adam was saying here. When it goes to my hand, it doesn't go directly from my hand into the bottom of the kli. It goes to the avir of the kli. That's what he's describing here. And we see from here, therefore, since it goes kilu shasasa miyado lekli, as if it goes from the hand to the kli, sharei yado al keneged svasa kli munach. That's my hand on the tip of the, you know, the lip of the bucket. Umishiyatsa miyado mekalchin, when it leaves my hand, it drips into baal keneged avir. Dilav keklidami amai pasul. So halo mina avir ba'in lo. So it sounds like the hand itself isn't really the kli. It sounds like it's more just an extension. Have like kenos and yada, but sinor mishmashach min akliach eser amos. I'm really quite sure actually what he's saying now.
What he's saying is that if you consider the avir of the kli like something separate than the kli, then the fact that it came from the hand, it's irrelevant because it goes first on the air as a separate. The last thing before the kli is the air, which is okay.
But I thought we said the whole thing of the yab was a separate psul, nothing to do with the kli or not. It was just that you can't use hands or anything else.
Yeah, but that's what saying is that it counts is the last step before it goes into the kli. That's what it seems that it's saying.
I think that might be the challenge with the response back here. Amalei tarda, he says tarda, which means like idiot. No, sorry, I skipped a line here. I'm sorry. Amar le Rabbi Zera le Rabbi Chiya bar Abba v'dilma b'shoses. Maybe it's through shoses. So maybe it's really through Rashi explained miyada l'kli v'lo by mina avir. Maybe Taki did it such a way where his hands were going in the kli and it didn't go through any airspace at all. Maybe that would be the halacha. The Gemara says, Amar Tarda, you idiot, Kadei Shiavu Maim Lechavistan, which clearly Avir means through Kiluach, when there's water goes through the airspace and not where it kind of drips into the pot, into the Chavis here. V'Amar Rabbi Chir Ba'ava, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Me'adusa Shal Rabbi Tzadok Nishneis Mishnezu. From his testimony, we learn this Mishnah, the Tznan, Heyed Rabbi Tzadok Ala Zochlin Shekilchen Balia Gozen Shein Kisherim. Zaya Maisa Bo'alai. So what was the testimony? They testified about Zochlin, that of these flowing waters that came, that were directed through these aliyah gozen, through these leaves of agozen that were kshirim. So we see from all this that what? So if you see Rashi, Rashi says nothing here.
Yes.
What's the right here? I lost this flow here. But how is this a raya, though?
It seems like it's not a raya. It's just having made steam that were chia barabba, so in front of the Mishnah, it's another comment of his concerning this Mishnah.
I think you're just saying that, I guess, aliyah gozim is an example that that's kasha, even though it's not, since it's not something that's a raya the kabbal tuma, that could be kasha. Had a person use his hand, though, that would be a problem. Okay, so the Gemara then says, Amar Rabbi Zeir, Amar Rabbi Rebbe, Hatzorim, new halach here. Hatzorim ozen apar, a person who cuts the ear of a cow, which is a psul, the Gemara in Bechoris tells us, v'charkach kibo damo, pasul, and then afterwards he catches all the blood, it's pasul. So Gemara explains, how do you know this? Shenamar, it says, v'lokach midam apar, par sheyakvar, has to be caught from the blood that already had been beforehand, meaning it had to be a kosher par from beginning to end. So even though b'shash shchita it was perhaps kosher, now it's not kosher anymore, it's pasul. So Gemara says, Ashrechan Katshe Kalashim. So that's the pasuk that refers to Katshe Kalashim, referring to a chatas. Katshe Kalmanon. How do I know this is a halacha true, that even the Katshe Kalim, the par has to be tamim, even Mishas Kabbalim? You know, and what's the source? Amarava Tanya, Se Tamim Zachar Ben Shana. That the Se, the sheep, has to be tamim Zachar Ben Shana. She tamim Ben Shana Bishash Chita. So that tells me that Shashchita, the pasuk of Sev Tamim Zachar Ben Shana, is referring to Shashchita. How do I know it's true also? Right, the pasuk is talking about, this is the Karim Pesach. It's talking about Shchita. How do I know that it's true? B'Kabbalah, B'Halacha, B'Zikum, Minayin, Tamil Omar, Yihiyah, the pasuk says Yihiyah as well. It says, Se Tamim Zachar Ben Shana Yihiyah. Yeah, means, Kol Haviyasa Lo Yihu Elatam. All the different benshana, all the different actions, whether shchita, kabbalah, halacha, zrika, has to be all when the animal is still tam. So the Gemara says, Eisve, Abai asks, and quotes from a statement of Rabbi Yeshua, Omer, kol zvachem shebetorah, shenishtayar mehem kezayis basar, o kezayis chelev, zorek es adam. So we see from here, that whenever you have a carbon, if, let's say, the animal got completely destroyed, as long as the kezias remains, so then you're allowed to do the zrika. What do you mean? Didn't we say you have to have the animal completely intact? And here we see it's not true. Gemara says, no, targama aben shana. He explains, referring to aben shana. What's the point here? That havayos of the, which is the pasuk, is referring to that it has to remain a year old. But the lach of tamim is not true. You don't have to have tamim when it comes to the shchita, kabbalah, and zrika. Only thing when it says yihi and the pasuk before is only referring to that the ben shana, and that has to be a year old during the entire avoda. When it comes to tamim, you don't need to have tamim. As long as it comes to zrika, you have a remaining part, a kezayis basar, kezayis chelav, that's enough for the zrika. So for kachik kachim, you need to be tamim for the entire process, but for kachik kalim, it's enough to have just the kezayis. So the Gemara says, wait a second. Ben Shana, Mi'ika, Mide, the Bashash Shchita Ben Shana, Bashash Halacha, Vizrika, Ben Shtaim? Doesn't make any sense. You're telling me that Yihiyu is going on in the Ben Shana, that this animal has to be a year old for the Shchita, Kabbalah, and Zrika. How is the animal going to have a birthday when you're shechting this? It doesn't turn, doesn't change its date, you know, its age, until the night. We don't do karbanos at nighttime. And the Gemara says, no, we see from here, Amarava, Zosameras, that Shos, Posos, Bekachim. When it comes to a birthday, we know a person's born at 11 a.m., so his birthday really a year later is really 11 a.m. the next year. So even though we don't celebrate birthdays like that, we go based on when the day changes to the next day. When it comes to karbanos, we go based on shaos. So it's very possible the shchita was done 10:59, and the zrika was done 11 a.m., 11:01. He's now into his second year, and then he would be pasul. But with respect to tamim, einachanami, kachikam, don't require to be tamim from shchita all the way through zrika. Okay, we will stop here and we'll continue tomorrow. It's a little confusing, that part about...